Welcome to show number 112 of the Sports Card Show, brought to you by SportsCardRadio.com. What's happening, everybody? Hopefully you guys are all doing very well out there. I'm doing great. I've been kind of out of it the last 3 days because the Giants have played 3 games in a row and won all three in Cincinnati and move on to the National League Division Series. So that'll be exciting to see if they can continue to move on. They have a lot of players that a lot of people aren't really familiar with outside of Buster Posey. We even have our Tim Lincecum coming out of the bullpen, so I'm sure that'll change in the next matchup. But there's my little Giants minute for you. I'm really excited about that. That was really exciting to see them come back. So hopefully your team wasn't the Reds, and I'm sorry if it was, but I wouldn't be too concerned if I was a Reds fan. They had that pitcher go out right in the beginning of the game, right in the first series, and that kind of, I think, messed up their bullpen, messed up their rotations and stuff like that. So if they could stay a little more healthy, then they could have definitely beat the Giants. But in terms of what we're going to talk about on today's show, we're not going to talk all about Giants and Reds. I'm sure there's plenty of other podcasts talking about those kind of things and on TV as well. We're going to talk about some baseball cards. There really hasn't been a whole lot of releases in terms of anything ultra exciting the last couple weeks. However, we have seen Upper Deck Exquisite Basketball. That's coming out on the 16th. Bowman Chrome Baseball is on the horizon here coming up next week. And as well as Certified Football, you got Threads Basketball. That looks kind of exciting. And Gridiron Gear Football, Panini Cooperstown Baseball looks kind of interesting as well. So there's some sets here coming out towards the end of October to make things exciting. But I think there's some heavy hitters going into November as well. So, but we'll stay away from talking about any sets. Next week we'll probably talk about Exquisite Basketball for sure, and we'll talk about maybe I don't know, baseball is kind of over with for most of, I think in about a week there'll only be about 4 teams in it, so we might start moving on to football until the first of the year rolls around for baseball. But there was, in my favorite sport, there was a little blurb on Panini I saw today. They put on their blog, and I'm recording this on a Friday. They said, I believe on Monday, they were going to announce a new athlete for their basketball, one of their basketball players for their basketball player set. So I found that interesting. Usually for rookies, like top picks and stuff, they usually just throw up a blog and stuff like that. And put a picture of the players, and we are expecting them to have most of the top picks anyways. However, this was they had Blake Griffin, Kobe, and Kevin Durant in a photo, and then they had like a blurred out, not a blurred out, but just a grayed out player with a question mark on it. And I don't know, I do watch a lot of basketball, but my immediate guess was maybe Dwayne Wade, because I haven't seen Dwayne Wade necessarily sign in Upper Deck products recently. I could be totally blind to that, but Dwayne Wade, I believe had some kind of deal with Topps when he came out as a rookie, and maybe now he can sign. I don't know, but to me the silhouette looked somewhat similar to Dwayne Wade. It didn't look like a big guy. It looked like a guard that was driving to the middle. So, hey, I don't know. I guess another guess could be like someone like Derrick Rose, possibly. I know that Panini already gets some of his things. Maybe they're trying to work out something better for that. There just really isn't a lot of superstar athletes that really come off the top of my head outside of LeBron James and Michael Jordan, and they're with Upper Deck. So I don't know. Maybe things will change. I have no idea. But to me, the silhouette, not to spread rumors, but to me, I'm just saying my guess was just based on the silhouette and maybe some of the circumstances to where I don't really know Dwayne Wade's contracts or who he has deals with. He might still be with somebody else or have some other deal, but to me that would be my guess. So I encourage you to, I think it's Panini America. You can probably just search Panini America blog in Google, and it probably comes up number one. And you can go. It's one of their latest posts if you get on there. I'll throw a link up to it in our show notes as well. We'll see. That'll be exciting. We'll hopefully you guys catch that. And if you don't, I'll reveal the new basketball athlete on the next show that we do. We're going to talk about what – I haven't even told you what we're going to talk about today, but I don't think you really mind. I already said we're not going to be talking about a set, because there really isn't anything too exciting. We usually like to – I usually like to wait till they come out so you can actually see who cares about – I've seen a lot of sets from Topps to Panini to all the brands. They'll put out promo photos with an autograph of Brett Favre or whoever it might be, and then it's nowhere to be found in the actual product once it comes out. So those early photos really don't mean anything. So we'll wait till it actually comes out, because there's often some surprises. And I've seen with Threads Basketball this week, just talking about the Panini blog, they've thrown up some insert sets that I hadn't seen, like on the promo photos they threw out a while back. So the companies are kind of rolling out information as time rolls on. I think that's maybe a better strategy for them anyways. And let's see. So we're not going to talk about a set. We're going to talk about the Pacific Division. This is going to be a basketball set. So all the baseball guys out there, we've touched on the Giants. I guess I could go all day on that because it was so exciting to watch those games. But we're going to talk a little bit about basketball since it is the month of October. And I told you we were going to go down some teams. We're going to go down the Pacific Division, which has the Suns, Warriors, Kings, Clippers, and Lakers. So we'll talk about some – I have a lot of the key players on the teams listed out here. So we'll talk about that. If you have no interest in that, when we go to break here, you can pretty much tune out. Maybe for the last minute or so, I'll try to figure something else to talk about. But it'll be all basketball when we go to break. But before we go to break, I wanted to talk about a couple different things. First thing is, and kind of reflecting on last show where we talked about getting through the gaps where, you know, hey, we've had a week here. Maybe if your team's out of it, maybe, you know, like we said, if you were a Rockies fan or something like that, your team's out of it. So you might, you know, dabble a little Bowman Chrome. You might do that, but chances are you're probably just going to take a break until next season, and maybe some players cycled over on your team. I don't know. I don't know the mind of collectors, but in my mind, even as the Giants move through the playoffs, I'm not really a buyer of their cards. I really should have bought a Buster Posey when he hurt his ankle because everybody, maybe wrote him off, or bought Brandon Belt when everybody wanted him in AAA, or, bought Tim Lincecum when he had a really bad season, but it looks like maybe, hey, the odds are he's not going to continue to play bad. He's a good player, so he'll have some good games here. So there were some time for me. I look back. Now's not the time to buy my favorite team in the heat of a playoff run. That's when you want to stay out of buying the maybe the sweatshirts and some of that stuff. I think that stuff's kind of nice to have, but it is way overpriced in the beginning. If you wait on that, you can get it on sale. But I think now's not the time to buy if your team's in the heat of a playoff run. Just stay off it. Look at even the Cardinals are still in it, but I definitely believe their cards are a lot less than when they won it right after they won it last year. So I think baseball is kind of quiet. So we're going to talk about basketball. But, you know, what do we do during these stretches? How do we get through these tough times? And one of the things – I saw this show the other day. I was watching on one of the apps on the iPad or whatever. And it was like Barter Kings. I think that's what it's called, Barter Kings. You could probably search it online, and maybe it's on Hulu or maybe it's on Netflix or whatever. You can probably find it. Maybe even if you have cable and stuff, you might be able to find it there. I don't know what network it's on really, but it's a show called Barter Kings about these two guys. They actually own a shop where they trade. They do a lot of trades, and they're always in the position where they want to trade up. So they have a item they think is worth $50, and they're trying to trade it to someone that really wants that item and maybe has something that's worth more, definitely worth more, and they probably both know it. But that typically those an item like a guitar or like a computer, there are people that are willing to pay trade an item that is far more valuable for that. Because they value the guitar more because they think they're a rock star and they want to be in a band or whatever, or they need a computer because they've never had one before. They have a girlfriend now and they can chat on Facebook or whatever. So they're willing to trade something more valuable. Those are the kind of things you can do in sports cards. I thought it might be interesting. to set up like even like a challenge where you two people, you both start with like just a random base card, and maybe you pick a card for each other. And you send them to each other, and that's what you start with. And then you go to all the forums or wherever you need to go, Twitter, Facebook, anywhere you need to go to find collectors to try to trade that card up, you can do that. And I think it's I definitely think it's possible. I've seen these guys on the show say, hey, I want to end up with a boat, or I want to end up with an RV. And they start with something just really small, like a purse or like a pair of sunglasses or something. And they trade – they show them trading all the way up. Now, obviously, they don't show all the calls they have to make. And they have big trucks with trailers and stuff. And so that all that costs money. And I'm sure they drive around town constantly and maybe get turned down or things don't work out. So they don't show all the cost involved in doing that. But with a card, you can just sit behind your computer, have one scan of it, and really you're just investing your time. And then once you ship it out, you have to go to the post office. But it's not really anything all that complicated. So I think you could definitely do that. You could challenge yourself, hey, I'm going to start with this no-name autograph card. I think that's a really good thing to start with. Something that you can't even sell on eBay. People might not even buy it for 99 cents free shipping. So you start on the forum and you trade it for a couple base cards or trade it for, you know, you start trading, you try to trade up. And I think that's what you could do. And it might be kind of fun. You don't have to start at the bottom and start with something bad. I mean, if you have good cards, I think trying to trade up or trying to, do those kind of things where maybe you find a hockey collector with a really nice LeBron James autograph. And the hockey collector absolutely knows who LeBron James is and absolutely knows that's a valuable card. But maybe you have a Wayne Gretzky autograph that he values way more than LeBron, and you guys could do a trade or something like that. Or you maybe have a bunch of hot, maybe you have like 10 rookies from this year in hockey, and you can trade them those. You don't even know who these guys are. Half of them won't even be in the NHL for a few years. So you could trade them for something nice. So those are the kind of things you want to think about. You always want to try to find a middle ground with somebody, but there's always going to be those people that are a fan of a certain player or a fan of a certain sport. And I even see it on forums where people will post, hey, I really need this one of one, or I really need this guy, or I really need these cards, and I'm willing to trade more. People are open to say that they're willing to trade in your favor and give you even more than what the cards are worth. Because they need that player. So those are the kind of people you want to find. And it does take some time. But hey, if you don't got anything to collect, if there's nothing at the sports card shop that you want, if there's nothing online that really is catching your eye, you know, having some trades and trying to make it work. If it doesn't work out, at least it might fill the gap until something new comes out and you can move on. So hopefully that helps you out. Last thing, also, I wanted to help our sellers out, all our sellers that are selling stuff and are trying to make money on eBay or trying to make money on a website or whatever. There's a couple things I think you can do to fill the gaps, and I think one thing you might want to think about is try to fill the gap in something that's not related to sports cards. So there's often things that are kind of hot, or you can maybe, because you're out there buying so much, you can find other things. So I'd always keep an eye out for other markets or other ways to make money. Sometimes somewhat related to cards is games and things of that nature, not just Pokemon and Yu-Gi-Oh! You obviously know that. And if you're not into that, you might want to get into that more. I saw a lot of people on a thread saying that they were just basically ripping and flipping like magic, just opening it up and selling and being able to sell the cards for a profit out of there. So I don't know if that happens everywhere. You obviously want to do some research and some planning before you get into something like that. But gaming is certainly a good market. But just games in general and just little toys like RC toys and Hot Wheels and collectible. I know the scale models of cars like Camaros and stuff like that. Those are often collectible. Sometimes they have limited editions and things like that. So there's a market out there for all that. And you just want to get on eBay and just see what people are selling. I know that I did that quite a bit. I would find a seller that was, you know, had 10,000 feedback and he was just selling a lot of items. And I would just go through and kind of say, oh, wow, he's buying this, he's buying that. And if you have a lot of wholesale relationships, you can then go check the price very quickly. And that's why I always – I strongly encourage, once you have your business license, and it costs nothing to sign up with a distributor. Sure, they might bombard you with phone calls and might be like, oh, I'm not going to be your sales guy anymore because you're not buying anything. If they have buying minimums and things like that, sure, you can't call Nike and just start checking the prices on Jordans. But any middle America kind of distributor, you can sign up with them and start seeing a price list. And so I think that's effective. Because you'll see an item and you can just say, hey, he's making $10 a sale there. He's making $5 a sale and he's selling 10 a week. So you can do those kind of things. I've mentioned this company on the show before, but if you haven't dealt with them or if you haven't listened to me recommend them in the past, is a company called WinCraft, W-I-N, Craft, C-R-A-F-T. You can usually just search that, and they make pennants and Super Bowl. They make a lot of trinkets and things like that, keychains, cell phone covers, decals. I did really good selling decals because they sell very high quality. Obviously, officially, all their stuff is officially licensed and stuff like that, but it's all their very – once you get an account with them and you get wholesale – they're only wholesale. They don't have a retail-facing site, so you don't need to go there unless you have a business. But they have all the decals and the stickers that you see for sale in the shops and even on like the NFL websites and stuff like that. This is where a lot of the stuff comes from. And those are really good sellers. I found the decals to be good sellers because it was always in like a 30, you know, back then it was like a 38-cent stamp or something. Now I think it's about 45 cents a stamp. You can ship those kind of things and are really cheap. So you can always do free shipping or 50-cent shipping and run it out at a tighter margin because it is a low-cost item as well. And you're not paying much for materials to package out. And typically you can just slide in an envelope and slip it in your mailbox so you don't have to go to the post office. So I found those to be very good, consistent sellers, and it's also an item that doesn't go out of style very much unless the team, you know, bounces or like the Sonics or something. Even then, the retro stickers probably still have some value. But they had Super Bowl memory. I've found that right now you want to get in. If you're a seller, get some pennants of the NLCS or the two teams in the World Series. That kind of stuff sells, and certainly the winner. I know that with this company, with WinCraft, you used to be able to do your orders and then do it based on the winning teams. Like you could say, okay, if this team wins, I want this much. And if this team wins, I want this much. And that's how they used to do. They used to have the pre-orders. I remember for the Super Bowl and the MLB and for everything, NASCAR. And they had tons of stuff there. So there's lots of interesting items out there that for a low cost. With WinCraft, I think my average orders were right around only $150-$200, but I was always getting big boxes of stuff. I was always, because the pennants were only, 50 cents each or something like that, and keychains were nothing, and you can get big boxes of them. So I think you obviously want to do some research. Obviously, lots of people, I'm not announcing anything that's not already being done on eBay and done by tons and tons of people already. So you want to do your research. But if you already have customers, especially with cards, that's a great niche on eBay because lots of people go in there and search your other auctions and flow through your other cards, and they're clicking on your item descriptions, and that's a great way to sell because with a lot of purchases on eBay, you don't necessarily have to click on the item description because the product is a USB thing and you already know what it is, or whatever. It might even be an iPad. You already know what it is. But with a card, you want to click on it and see, hey, does he combine ship? What's the condition? What's if it's a lot of cards and things like that, I need to see what they all are. So those are the kind of ways you can sell people on other things, like buying a bumper sticker or whatever. So that's where you can do some selling. And hey, that's my tip. So hopefully that can get you through some dry spells outside of cards. I think that's something you might want to think about as a seller is you have all your eggs might be in sports cards or in boxes or in box breaks or whatever. But if that egg dries up or if that egg cracks for a couple months and is no good for you, what are you going to fall back on? So you want to have maybe another income stream there. So that's my tip of the day. When we come back, again, you can tune out if you have no interest in basketball because we are going to be talking all about the NBA, and I'm really excited about this next segment. We're going to be talking about the Pacific Division West, or I don't know how they break it down, but it's the division with the Suns, Warriors, Kings, Clippers, and Lakers. Probably one of the most exciting divisions in basketball. We'll talk about that right after this. And we are back. I really am excited to see who this new addition to the Panini basketball lineup, because I think their cards are looking nice. I think if they could throw in another top player that is not already in the sets. I knew last year they had Chris Paul on a limited basis and stuff like that. But I think if they could get another top guy, like a D-Wade, D-Rose, Dwight Howard in there a little bit more, even there. Even Rajon Rondo, I know, is really, really highly collected. So if it could be one of those players, or even Deron Williams a little bit more, I think he's already in there. But so I think it's going to be someone that they haven't really had before, and that's why I know that they have D Wade relics, but I'm pretty sure they haven't had D Wade autographs. So I don't know. I might be totally off there. We'll see. It'll be exciting, but hopefully you're excited. On this segment, we'll try to quickly go through some of these teams. I have a lot of things to talk about, but I'll try to go through it fairly quickly here. We'll start with the Suns. This is a team I've been telling people the last couple of days that I've been like, this team actually has some talent on it. Alvin Gentry is their coach, and I think he's a good coach, but I don't – with this bunch – I really think you need a great coach to win games in this conference and in this division. So we'll see how it all works out. With some injuries to some other teams and maybe with his team gelling somehow, it might work out for the Suns. But they have some really good talent here. Michael Beasley is a player that is a black hole. Once the ball goes into him, you know, he might pass, but he'd have to be double teamed, maybe even triple teamed. Ball's going up. But he's a talented player. He can score and he can rebound. He's DeMarcus Cousins type player, plays sometimes in foul trouble, maybe a little too aggressive, but it plays an old school style that back in the day, everybody was playing like this. So I respect players like that. He doesn't always play with a high motor, but at times last year I felt like he did. And he's a little inconsistent though. So he's a player though that could be a very sleeper value. You might be able to get him in the last round or in an auction draft for only a couple dollars, and he could give you top line production, top 30, top 25 player production if he can get his head on straight and things go well for him in the Suns. Goran Dragic, a very talented point guard, again, a little inconsistent like most European players, not to put them all in a batch, but you look at Dirk Nowitzki when he won the championship, and then last year it was kind of eh, and then Andre Bargnani, same way. That I can think of a lot of European, even Pau Gasol to a certain extent. A lot of, quote, European players. I know they're not all from Europe or whatever. I think that's the knock on them, that they're a little inconsistent. Goran Dragic, I think, falls. But when they're on, they're on. Goran Dragic's one of the best point guards for weeks of stretches where you just pray you have him during that stretch on your fantasy. But a little inconsistent for me. We'll see how he does in Phoenix. Marcin Gortat, another maybe not as inconsistent as most players that come from overseas. Very consistent center. Scores and rebounds and block shots and can guard pretty much any center in the league consistently and stay out of foul trouble relatively. He's a very, very solid player. Markieff Morris was a rookie, I believe, last year. Very solid player, but needs to work on polishing up his offensive game. If he plays with a high motor like he did last year and could maybe play a little more under control on the offensive end and shoot for a little higher percentage. I think he did shoot for a high percentage last year, but he's a solid player. But with this, they're deep at like in the backcourt here, so I don't know. I don't know how much playing time he'll get. We'll see. Luis Scola is another guy. Consistent, but again, is a consistent player, but then can take it to another level. He's a guy that plays almost year round, it seems like, so I think he kind of runs out of gas towards the end of the season, but is a very, very solid player typically for you. And they have Shannon Brown, who is an offensive weapon. And on this team, if they can get him rotating the ball and maybe passing the ball, I think that will help. We'll see how the Suns do. They need to pass the ball. With these guys, they don't have a lot of one-on-one beat you kind of guys, but they have a lot of guys where if they can get the guys to rotate the ball around the court, they have some shooters, they have some guys inside that can get rebounds, and you can dump the ball into them on a cut or something. So they're a solid team. They're going to have trouble winning, but they're not as bad as I think a lot of people think they're going to be. That's a really there's some veteran players in there that can hold that thing together. Moving on to the Kings, they have some young talent, but it's going to be tough beating even a team like the Suns that have some veteran players and a lot of these other teams in their division. The Kings have some good players, but it's just not enough, I don't think. They have a coach, Keith Smart. Pretty good coach. I think he came from maybe the Warriors before that. Solid guy, but I don't know. With this group, there's not much he can do, honestly. You have DeMarcus Cousins, a great player. Again, plays with a high energy. I don't want to say dirty, but I definitely see him moving players out of the way with his hands and doing things that don't often get called, and he knows it, but he will get called on it, and refs will look at it more because the coach is yelling, the other team's coach is yelling at the ref. So he needs to stay out of, if he stays out of foul trouble, he's one of the best play. I consider him being one of the best power forward type players in the NBA. He had a great, great season at times last year. Little inconsistent at times, but there was a stretch there towards the last half of the season where he was a great player, both rebounding and shooting. Even when he was in foul trouble, he's a very high production player. You get a lot of stuff coming out of DeMarcus Cousins whenever he's on the court. So if he can play high minutes, 30, 40 minutes a night, he would give you tremendous production in almost all categories. Tyreke Evans, another point guard that really came in well for the Kings and probably had a really good situation to shine, but is now at the position where a lot of people are at his point in his career where he's struggling maybe a little bit at running the team and maybe not shooting as much and not driving to the basket as much and trying to set up his teammates. And he's not necessarily a good enough scorer to be a two guard, be a Kobe or be a Dwayne Wade or be a player like that. So it's a tough position for him. Hopefully, we'll see his growth in the offseason. Did he work on his shooting or did he work on his playmaking ability and becoming a much better point guard or being much more like he was in his first season where he was all around? He was scoring, rebounding, and giving out assists. And I think part of it is staying healthy. He hasn't stayed healthy in a while. So we'll see what happens with Tyreke. Isaiah Thomas nipping at his heels. That's why I think maybe Tyreke will slide to a two guard or they'll trade him. I've heard plenty of rumors where the Kings have wanted to entertain trade offers with Tyreke because I think they have this Isaiah Thomas guy that's, for one, not making any money. And I think Tyreke might be coming up on a redo on his deal. So Isaiah is a pure point guard because his size won't allow him to play any other position. So he's actually the kind of point guard you like to have in the NBA. So I like his game at times last year. Will he continue to play with high energy? I think he will. Until he gets paid, which is what happens with most NBA players. But he was a second round draft pick, so at some point I think he can redo his deal. I don't know this for a fact, but second round deals are a little bit different, so we'll see what happens with them. Thomas Robinson was a rookie. I don't know. What is he going to guard? you know, Dwight Howard? Is he going to guard Marcin Gortat? Is he going to guard Andrew Bogut? Is he going to guard Blake Griffin? No. So this guy, I don't think, is going to get a whole lot of playing time when he plays inside the division. Maybe a little bit, but certainly he will not be guarding Dwight Howard. And so hopefully the Kings have a backup center that can come in and be kind of a body. Because Thomas Robinson is going to get absolutely abused by some of the big men in the West. Because they're no joke. Marcin Gortat, no joke. Andrew Bogut, no joke when he's healthy. Blake Griffin, no joke. So even DeAndre Jordan, no joke. So Jimmer Fredette, another player that doesn't necessarily fit on this team. He would fit perfectly back on the team, back on the Kings team with Bibby and that pass. The reason why those Kings teams won games and were so good is not because we saw none of those players, Peja and all, none of those really players win on. Peja did win a title with Dallas, but wasn't a big part of it. A lot of them didn't go on and lead other teams to NBA Finals. It's because that team passed the ball well with each other and played really organized basketball. Jimmer Fredette would have fit in perfectly back then. Does he fit in now with DeMarcus? Is DeMarcus going to, you know, run the ball in the post, get double team, wait for Jimmer to rotate over and pass on the ball? No. DeMarcus is going to just barrel his way through two defenders and try to get it up on the glass. So Jimmer works great in a team where you can run him off curls and pass on the ball. He's not going to beat anybody in the NBA one-on-one in a half-court set. So you have to set screens for him. And you have to run plays for him. Are the Kings going to do that? Are the Kings even going to pass on the ball if the coach calls it? Maybe, maybe not. So he's kind of up in the air. He has to capitalize on his opportunities when he gets them. But with this team, I don't see it happening. So we'll see. If they trade certain players and maybe certain players have attitude change, maybe. We'll see. Marcus Thornton is the other talented Kings player, but another kind of tweener player that you might want to try to avoid, at least in fantasy. Although he does give you some value, so if he's not very much money, he might be of some value there. The Warriors, coached by Mark Jackson. This is a very talented team. They have more players, even about six players I have listed here. They have more than this that could certainly make an impact this year. However, this team is littered with guys that always get hurt and is littered with a team that has not played basketball together. So if Mark Jackson can't get these guys on the same page, it's going to be a cluster, you know what. So Harrison Barnes is the rookie. I don't see him playing that much unless, again, like last year, the Warriors were fielding a team at the end of the year that had guys that were undrafted and weren't even on teams a month before. So and were 7-day contract guys. I think they had one lineup where they had two guys that were 7-day contracts in the starting lineup, or 10-day contracts or whatever the NBA has. So the Warriors could certainly fall on hard times, but they're a little bit deeper now, I believe. Klay Thompson, another guy, don't draft him off what he did towards the tail end of last season. Draft him off what he did in the first, say, 20 games of the season or 25 games of last season. Don't judge him by the last season because, like I said, he was the only healthy Warrior that could put the ball in the hoop halfway on a competent basis. And even Mark Jackson was cooling him towards the end of the season. So there is going to be no Klay Thompson honeymoon, I don't think, unless, again, a tremendous amount of injuries. I would try to avoid him unless it's a cheap value in fantasy. Andrew Bogut, this guy is always hurt as well if he doesn't stay healthy. And in this division, again, he's going to have to guard Gortat. He's going to have to guard even like DeMarcus Cousins is a tough guard. And obviously Dwight Howard if he's healthy. So not easy for Bogut. I don't know if he'll stay healthy. I know they have Beatrice, who is a serviceable center as well. Stephen Curry always gets hurt, and I can almost guarantee you he will get hurt. He'll probably play in the 60s of games next year if he's lucky. So we'll see what happens there. Very talented player, but again, a guy that you want to avoid at all costs on fantasy unless he's like in a $200 budget draft, unless he's like in the $10 range. I would not even think about getting him because he always gets hurt. Jeremy Tyler is an effective player and a very young player, and I believe he was the young man that maybe came out a little too early or something, played pro ball overseas. I can't remember if that's his story or not, but he's a talented young guy. Don't sleep on him. And they obviously have David Lee, who is a solid player. And now with Andrew Bogut in town, David Lee is going to be able to maybe slide to a more natural position with more depth, it seems like, on the Warriors. I think David Lee used to have to play center a little bit last year and play more power forward. I think you could swing him out and get him out more on the wing. Might be a little more effective out there. The Clippers, Vinny Del Negro is their coach. Chris Paul and Blake Griffin are both hurt but are expected to return. But I believe, this is my assumption, that the Clippers are going to be careful with those two players. They probably see this division and they probably say, hey, the Kings probably not going to be over 82 games, probably not going to be consistent enough to win. The Suns probably not going to be consistent enough to win. The Warriors, who know, they could be a pretty good team, but who knows what you're going to get there. But the Clippers probably know, hey, we can chill. We don't have to play Chris Paul 40 minutes when he comes back right away. We don't have to play Blake. This isn't last year when it was 66 games and they're all jumbled up. So the Clippers, I don't think, are going to put pressure on those guys right away. They will put pressure on a player like Eric Bledsoe, DeAndre Jordan. So those might be some value picks for you in fantasy. Jamal Crawford, another guy. I don't know if I really like him that much. And when I say I like the guy, I just maybe on this team and this mix might not be that great. Lamar Odom, another player I would try to avoid on fantasy as well. Although early, if Blake and Chris are out early in the season, might be effective play. And they have Grant Hill going into his 17th NBA season. That's incredible. Another guy you want to avoid unless it's like a 12-man basketball league and you just have huge rosters. Grant Hill may do well for you right in the beginning, but you certainly will be cutting him as the season goes on, I believe. 17 NBA seasons, I just don't know. Blake Griffin, I do want to say one thing about him. At times last year, I noticed he was shooting a lot more jump shots, and he was not we didn't see a ton of the high-flying dunks like we did at the beginning, maybe of his career, what amounts to his second year in the NBA, but was his rookie season. So I noticed him playing more like chill mode basketball, and there's a lot of players that do that. They become a superstar, and then it's like, I'm just going to start chilling. So I think a lot of players go through that. I think Kobe and even LeBron, I think a lot of players have, maybe not Shaq, but maybe to a certain extent Shaq, towards the end of his career. But Blake Griffin, certainly I saw a lot of chilling out of him. Carmelo Anthony reminds me of another player that just kind of chills. So you hope that doesn't return, but for me, the more and more I see of Blake Griffin, that just seems like it might be his personality, just kind of relaxed, kind of more worried about his funny or die spots and things like that. So I don't know. I wouldn't put Blake. I would certainly draft, if we're talking fantasy here, I certainly would draft Kevin Love or even, there's lots of players I'd rather have over Blake Griffin at this point. So moving on, maybe even Pau Gasol, because moving on to the Lakers, they have a horrible coach, Mike Brown, but we saw last year, no offense to anybody that likes these guys or hold them in high regard, and no offense to any Miami Heat fans, you have a horrible coach. That guy is an absolute idiot in press conferences, and just some of the things he says is just, it's like he should be coaching high school with the way he talks about the game. So but nevertheless, if you have people like LeBron, typically I don't think that would have won you games, but the NBA just seems like the talent is just goes all to one team now. Teams are building like super teams, and everybody wants to play on the coasts. And so anybody that's not there is not going to get any good players, it seems like, but unless you're in Chicago, I guess. But they have a good coach. Anyways, Mike Brown, not a very good coach, but it might not matter because this is a great team. If they can stay healthy, and the one person that needs to stay healthy is not Kobe, not Powell, not Dwight, it's Steve Nash. If Lakers have Steve Nash for the whole season, even at like an 80, obviously Nash is getting, I don't know what season he's in, but he's getting pretty old. I believe he was the same year maybe as Kobe, but Kobe was a high schooler. Although Kobe probably has as many miles, much more basketball miles on him than Nash does. So people to forget, I believe Nash was riddled with injuries his first couple of years as well. So he didn't, not like he played starter minutes his whole career. So Anyways, Nash is the key to the whole offense because he can just all he does is just dribble through the lane, circles back around, and then comes in there and then throws an alley-oop or drops a bounce pass to one of the players. So certainly effective player when you have somebody like Pau Gasol and Dwight Howard because they can catch alley-oops and they can that's kind of their game. You kind of need to set them up. Why they both have post games, I think Powell's really good at the pick and roll, and Dwight's probably much better at maybe catching a bounce pass off his guy leaving him and then just dunking the ball. And so Nash is the absolute perfect player for both of those players. So if Nash can stay healthy, I think it's great. If Nash is not healthy, is Kobe going to pass the ball to Dwight in the post? No. Is Kobe going to pass the ball to Powell? Maybe he does. You never know what you're going to get with Kobe. He always says, oh, I'm not going to go for the scoring title this year. Or I'm not going to go. But it's like Kobe is like that little kid when he sees a piece of cake in front of him. The kid could say, oh, I'm not hungry anymore. And then you put cake in front of him, he'll eat the whole plate. So Kobe's kind of that way. He'll say, oh, I'm going to pass the ball, I'm going to shoot. But over an 82-game season, he's going to look at his stats, and if he's averaging – really, I think for this team, if Kobe averages 14, 15 points a game, and if he can muster out 5-8 assists a game, somewhere in that range, we would win the championship, I think. And if Nash stays healthy, we could win the championship. If Kobe tries to average 22 points a game, oh, this team has no chance. We don't need a 40-year-old Kobe trying to go for 20, 30, 40 points a game. It's just not effective with the other players that we have. We have Antoine Jameson, another guy very effective around the basket. You need to either dump him the ball on the elbow or on the post, or you need to dump it to him as his man's leaving you for a double. Kobe doesn't do that. Kobe's going to just go through the double and get a foul and get to the line. So, and it's much better to get guys involved. So we'll see. You still have Ron Artest. You have Chris Duhon kind of there as a backup, but certainly Chris Duhon is just going to pass the ball to Kobe and going to do whatever he wants. Steve Nash is the kind of player that is going to have the ball in his hands, and if he doesn't want to pass to Kobe, he's not going to pass to Kobe. So we need those kind of players. So not to hate on Kobe. I love Kobe. Kobe's obviously one of my most favorite players of all time. But and has won my team many, many championships and many, many games. But he's getting towards the end of his career, and we have players like Pau Gasol and Dwight Howard who are literally right there in the prime of their career. We need to get them the ball and let them develop high percentage offense around the basket. And once they start, if Dwight can draw a double team, I'm sure Kobe will have plenty of little open 15, 19 footers. So hopefully Kobe, I know Kobe's listening, hopefully he is, and hopefully he takes that to heart. And if Kobe's not listening, hopefully Mike Brown is listening, and he knows how to run some plays and basically just give the ball to Steve Nash. So we'll see if the Lakers do that. But in terms of prediction, I think, obviously, let's just throw injuries out the window and say all these teams stay relatively healthy and none of their key players miss more than maybe 5 or 6 games or so. I would put the Lakers in front because they just have a lot of talent, and with the rebounding, Dwight Howard and Pau Gasol are going to give them tons of rebounding presence. Even D'Antoine Jameson in the game is going to give them just rebounding, rebounding, rebounding. It's going to be tough to beat a team like that unless you just shoot an ultra, ultra high percentage from outside usually. In second place is tough. I honestly don't even know, because I honestly think if the Warriors stay relatively healthy and if Mark Jackson can run the right plays and stuff, they could definitely come in second. I honestly think the Clippers could come in second too if they could get all their guys healthy, and I know we're assuming that. But honestly, if Alvin Gentry, this team is ridiculous, but honestly I think the Suns have a chance to even come. They could possibly come in second. Because they honestly have some players here that I think are very – Luis Scola, Marcin Gortat are great inside presence. And if they stay healthy, you're going to have a great inside presence. And Goran Dragic is a great point guard if he can play very consistent at a high level. You got three players right there that I think can win you games. And if Michael Beasley can buy into what they're doing there, he's a great player and can be a top 25-30 player with production, but we've seen Rick Adelman cooled him on minutes. So because he didn't buy into the team concept, I mean, he never passed the ball. I mean, this guy never passes the ball. So But he's a great rebounder, a great scorer. So we'll see what happens there. They even have Shannon Brown. Then they have other guys that I haven't even mentioned. So, but I really got to give probably second place. I'm going to go out on a limb here. I'm going to give second place to the Warriors because I think they have enough talent here and they can score at a high level. I think at a higher level even than the Clippers. So Clippers I'll put in third. And the Suns are fourth. But, man, they could surprise some people. And the Kings I think are absolutely going to be in last unless there's just a transformation. Unless DeMarcus Cousin wakes up and turns into a team player and Tyreek can hit a 20-footer at a 44% clip. If that stuff doesn't happen, I don't see it happening. So I don't see them coming anywhere but last. But there is some hope for that team if they can get – I think if they can get out of Sacramento, no offense to the only basketball team within any kind of driving distance for me. I think they would benefit by either moving up to Seattle, where they have some passionate fans out there, or moving down to Los Angeles, where they can get sponsor money and get players to come in because it's a cooler place to live or whatever. So no offense to Sacramento. Someone from Stockton is making fun of other cities. So not necessarily the advice you want to take. But anyways, I think we've wrapped it up today, folks. Thank you very much for tuning in. I got to say thank you. I probably should have said this in the beginning of the show. But thanks for everybody that says they enjoy the show or whatever. Definitely encouraged me to do more of them. I've certainly enjoyed today's show because we talked a lot about basketball. So hopefully I haven't turned off too many listeners. We'll come back next week. I know that we do have exquisite basketball, so we'll certainly talk about that. But we'll throw in a little Bowman Chrome baseball, and we'll throw in some other stuff as well when we come back, probably next week sometime. Thanks again for tuning in today. Hopefully things are going well for you. Get out there. Hey, like I said, if there's a gap, go out there and just have a little fun and maybe enjoy the little break that you have from collecting. But get back into it because it should be a fun end of October and November and December. Should be really fun as we go into next year. Thanks again for tuning in. We are out of here.